Welcome to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories and most interesting discussions from Hacker News. I am your host, Sarah.
And I am Mipe. It is Tuesday, May 27th, 2026, and you are tuning in to episode 408. Today, we are covering the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, May 26th.
We have a really packed and fascinating lineup for you today. We are going to talk about some incredibly shady behavior discovered on Motorola phones, a major labor strike hitting Wikipedia, the Netherlands blocking a U.S. tech buyout over sovereignty concerns, Spain cracking down hard on prediction markets, and finally, a reality check on the true hidden costs of owning a home.
I am ready when you are, Sarah. Let's jump right into it.
So, Mike, imagine you just dropped $1,900 on the new Motorola Razr Fold smartphone. You open your app drawer, tap the Amazon icon to buy something, and without you even realizing it, your phone hijacks the app to insert a random affiliate code.
I would be absolutely furious, but according to a report from 9to5 Google, that is exactly what is happening to some users. A user on Reddit actually caught this using an ADB log. They noticed that when you launch Amazon from the app drawer, the phone's launcher quickly opens a Chrome browser, pings a URL, and then redirects you back to the Amazon app. It is a blink-and-you-miss-it moment.
It really is. The network logs showed the device making requests to a site called DeviceNative.com, which is an ad service. But the craziest part is where the affiliate code comes from. It redirects through a domain link to a random fashion influencer, though the specific affiliate code doesn't even match her public ones. It makes zero sense why a massive company like Motorola would pipe hijacked Amazon revenue through a fashion influencer's domain.
The Hacker News comments were understandably cynical about this. A user named CodeDocCode pointed out that this is just the latest symptom of how bad the smartphone market has gotten. Between pre-installed garbage apps, government-mandated bloatware, telemetry, and notification spam, it feels like you cannot buy a clean phone anymore unless you are willing to flash a custom ROM like Lineage OS.
Exactly. And someone else brought up the history of this, noting that carrier bloatware has been a thing since the feature phone days. It reminded people why the original iPhone was such a massive paradigm shift. Apple absolutely refused to let carriers install their junk on it.
Right. A commenter named The Web Guy D mentioned that Verizon actually turned down the original iPhone because they wanted control over that bloatware and OTA updates. But seeing this happen at the manufacturer level on a premium device in 2026 is just a terrible look. Luckily, you can disable the pre-installed SmartFeed app to stop the hijacking, but 99% of users will never know it is happening behind the scenes.
Speaking of things happening behind the scenes, our next story is a massive one for European tech sovereignty. The Netherlands has officially blocked the US-based company Kyndryl from acquiring a Dutch IT supplier called Solvinity.
This story got over 500 points on Hacker News. For context, Solvinity hosts the platform for DigiD. That is the Dutch national authentication app that citizens use for everything from booking doctor appointments to buying a house or interacting with the government.
And the Dutch government basically stepped in and said, "Hold on, we cannot let a critical piece of our national digital infrastructure fall under foreign control."
The comments added some really great nuance here. A user named MCV pointed out that the core fear is the US Cloud Act. That law theoretically allows the US government to demand data held by any US company, regardless of where the servers are physically located. You really cannot have another country's government having potential access to your entire population's digital identities.
But the situation on the ground is even messier than just geopolitics. According to the comments, the Dutch government agency that actually owns the DigiD stack, called Logius, suffers from massive vendor lock-in. They hired Solvinity for their expertise years ago, and now the government barely knows how their own bespoke stack works.
Yeah. A user named Jorvi mentioned that transitioning away from Solvinity could be a 5+ year process. Another commenter named Caliboy brought up that local municipalities in the Netherlands use a soap-based monstrosity of a standard called Stuff to communicate, which just deepens the vendor lock-in.
It sparked a really interesting debate in the thread about how European countries should collaborate on this stuff. Why doesn't the EU just adopt and co-develop Estonia's famous digital ID stack, or build a modular open-source system like Argentina did for their university software? Instead, we get these bespoke, locked-in systems. Still, blocking the U.S. acquisition seems like a necessary band-aid while the Dutch government figures out how to untangle the mess.
Moving from national security to gambling, our third story takes us to Spain, where the government has officially blocked the prediction markets Polymarket and Kalshi.
The official reason given by regulators is a lack of gambling licenses, but the Hacker News thread turned into a massive philosophical debate about the actual dangers of these platforms.
Oh, absolutely. The top comment by Solenoid0937 argued that these markets should be illegal globally because they incentivize people to manipulate the real world in horribly destructive ways just to win a bet. They even speculated that people might be murdered to reap the payouts of certain bets.
Which sounds extreme until you read the replies. Someone linked to a story where French police were investigating claims that people were tampering with weather sensors using hair dryers and lighters just to win bets on temperature markets.
I saw that. And while a hairdryer sounds almost funny, another commenter pointed out that accurate weather data is critical for aviation safety. You do not want people blowing holes in your security model for a quick payout. It is like the old rule of insurance. You can't take out a fire insurance policy on someone else's house because you would have a massive incentive to burn it down.
Right. In the insurance world, that's called having an insurable interest. You have to actually own the house. But prediction markets bypass that completely. You can bet on a disaster happening to someone else and profit from it. Another user pointed out that Polymarket changes the definition of an insider. If there's a bet on whether an announcer will say a specific word during a broadcast, suddenly that announcer is an insider who can rig the market.
Some commenters pushed back, of course. They argued that prediction markets provide incredibly valuable, unbiased forecasting data that you can't get anywhere else. But the consensus seemed to lean toward the idea that as these markets get bigger and the payouts get larger, the incentive to cheat the real world grows right along with them.
Let's shift gears to a platform we all use every day, Wikipedia. An article titled "Big Tech's Anti-Labor Playbook Has Come for Wikipedia" hit the front page, highlighting a massive strike by some of the site's most crucial volunteer editors.
This one really struck a chord with the Hacker News crowd. Wikipedia is arguably the last bastion of the old human-curated web, but a group of highly active editors, specifically the arbitration enforcement admins, are striking.
And we need to be clear, these are not just casual editors who fix typos. As a commenter named WikipediaNon explained, these are the people who enforce civility and neutrality in the most contentious areas of the site. We are talking about articles on geopolitical conflicts, American politics, the caste system, things that are prime targets for astroturfing.
Exactly. The commenter pointed out that without these specific admins doing the painstaking work of reviewing conduct, Wikipedia would quickly devolve into a battleground where whatever political group has the most accounts gets to dictate the truth.
Another user shared their own experience, spending hours every day in airport terminals, just tweaking articles and improving sources. They said if these core editors leave en masse, Wikipedia will turn to garbage within a year. It is handcrafted with love and respect, not crappy automation.
That brought up a fascinating side debate about whether Wikipedia is actually unbiased right now. Some people brought up the Gell-Mann amnesia effect, arguing that Wikipedia relies on news reporting, which itself is often flawed. Others complained about woke laundering or deletionism by power-tripping admins.
True, but as another commenter countered, Wikipedia at least shows its work. You can see the sources, the edit history, and the talk pages where the decisions are made. If we lose the human volunteers who mediate those talk pages, the AI bots and bad actors are just going to take over. One user even mentioned they are downloading offline copies of Wikipedia using Kiwix just to preserve the pre-AI, human-curated version of human history. It is a really precarious moment for the internet's encyclopedia.
Let's wrap up today with a topic that always gets the Hacker News crowd talking: real estate. A developer named Eric Turner wrote a fantastic blog post called "The Real Cost of Owning a Home," where he completely dismantles the old cliche that renting is just throwing your money away.
This post got over 300 points, and it is a meticulous breakdown of the hidden costs of ownership. Eric kept all the receipts. He bought a house in 2011 and broke down every single cost: the loan origination fees, the title insurance, the property taxes, and the fact that for the first few years, almost 80% of your mortgage payment is just going to interest.
Which, as he points out, is an expense that lowers your net worth, exactly like rent. He paid over $12,000 just in fees to get the loan. But the part that really got the Hacker News comments going was the maintenance and utility costs. Eric listed out tens of thousands of dollars in repairs over the years, a new roof, new siding, replacing polybutylene pipes. He even noted that his electricity rates went up 42% in just 2 years, partly driven by the massive energy demands of new AI data centers in his area.
The financial cost is one thing, but a user named Divide Fuel brought up the hidden cost that hit them the hardest, the time. They said house maintenance and projects have taken up most of their weekends for the past few years.
Yes. When you rent, you have one person to call when something breaks. When you own, you are the project manager for your own life. You have to research contractors, coordinate estimates, or learn how to do it yourself on YouTube. Eric mentioned he saved $15,000 by building his own deck, but that is a massive time commitment.
That led to a really funny thread about the myth of the sage old handyman. One commenter said their landlord has this magical handyman who can do plumbing, electric, drywall, landscaping, and roofing all by himself. But as others pointed out, finding a guy like that for your own home is nearly impossible. And because of modern licensing laws, a lot of those jack-of-all-trades guys operate under the radar and might cut corners.
I loved the advice from a user named Bombcar. They said if you buy a house, you need to treat it like a rental that you rent to yourself. It gives you the psychological permission to spend money on fixing things without feeling like you are bleeding cash.
That is a great mindset. Ultimately, owning a home is a lifestyle choice first and a financial choice second. If you want the space, the quiet, and the freedom to knock down a wall, great. But do not do it just because you think renting is a waste of money. The closing costs alone when you eventually sell can wipe out years of equity.
That is a harsh reality check, but a necessary one. And that is all the time we have for today on episode 408 of HN Pod.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to dive deeper into any of these discussions, you can find all the links on Hacker News. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from the tech world.
Until then, keep building, keep reading, and maybe check your Amazon app to make sure you aren't accidentally funding a random fashion influencer. Have a great day, everyone.